What's up? For the Numbers, presented by FTN Fantasy, back with you once again. Adam Pfeiffer here on Wednesday, August the 14th, 2024, talking some more fantasy football. What can be better? Thrilled. Today's episode, we are talking about some veterans. This is more of a redraft-focused show. We do dabble in Dynasty occasionally, but if you want full Dynasty takes, go over, listen to the FTN Dynasty podcast hosted by Jeremy Popolars. But when we talk about veterans, a lot of the time it's more so like, what should you do with veteran players in Dynasty? Are you contending? Are you rebuilding? Should you trade them? But even in redraft leagues, a lot of the veteran players that have been around for a while and have produced but are slowly maybe starting to fall off and getting pushed down as the young up-and-coming players enter the NFL, they can become really, really good values in fantasy drafts. So on today's episode, we'll talk about some of those players who, for whatever reason, are being a little bit overlooked in drafts. And speaking of drafts, I mean, this weekend is going to be a major, major fantasy draft weekend. And you have to get prepared if you haven't been already. If you have been, you've been listening to this show, you've been listening to all the shows, you've been checking out all the content at FTNFantasy.com. And if you haven't and are looking to sign up, now is the time. Use the promo code FTN15. It'll get you 15% off whatever package you're looking for. And that ends tomorrow. If you listen to this on Wednesday, that ends tomorrow. So this is the time to do it. Get after it. You get access to the articles, rankings, projections, tools, Discord, the fantasy game plan draft guide by Jeff Ratcliffe, the FTN Almanac, the access to the advanced stats hub, which I reference on this podcast every single day. So check it out. FTNFantasy.com, use that promo code 15 to get you 15% off at sign up. Also, want to shout out Circa, the sponsor of this program. Once again, just huge, huge pro football contests have returned with the return, of course, of the NFL. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions, up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes. Two ways to win, absolutely zero rake. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week with no point spread, last the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. Sounds easy, right? Just five picks against the spread each week? Easy, but we know how unpredictable the NFL can be on a weekly basis. Enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com. for details. Before we get into some of the players, let's go over some news, because now that we are in the preseason, there's pretty much news every single day. Starting in Detroit, on Monday, Jahmyr Gibbs left Lions practice with what was initially called a leg issue. It was later reported it was a hamstring, didn't know the severity of it, but today, Lions head coach Dan Campbell said he thinks Jahmyr Gibbs will be fine. He says, quote, "So I think we'll be good." It's not a lot to go off of, but clearly doesn't sound like the Lions are alarmed. Maybe it's something he's limited the first week or two if he's not quite 100%, but we have appeared to avoid a serious injury from Jahmyr Gibbs. The same can be somehow said, amazingly, for rookie running back from the Giants, Tyrone Tracy. Yesterday, early in practice, carted off the field, air cast, did not look good. But apparently it's a week-to-week issue with an ankle. I think it was a low ankle sprain somehow, which is fantastic news, because when you see a player get carted off and you see the air cast, it's obviously a concern. But Tracy, who was clearly operating as the clear starter in the first preseason game, which would make him the clear second running back behind Singletary, who was obviously out for that game. I know Eric Gray had the more productive game, but Tyrone Tracy got all of the playing time that we would want to see from the second running back on this team. So you don't like a rookie missing time. We want him to get these reps, but does sound like he also avoided a serious injury, which is fantastic news, because it didn't look good at all when it started. Hollywood Brown, who's dealing with that shoulder issue, I pointed out yesterday that it's apparently a similar injury to the one Tyreek Hill had a couple years ago in Kansas City, where he missed 4 weeks of the regular season. Now it looks like the timetable is 4 to 6 weeks for Hollywood Brown, so around the same length, looks like. Probably misses week one. But again, also doesn't look like it's going to be too crazy for him. And then we return to everybody's favorite TV show, What the Hell's Going On with Brandon Ayuk? I mean, yesterday reports come out from Ian Rappaport that the Steelers were really close to a trade with San Francisco with Brandon Ayuk. And now it's like, okay, it's finally going to happen. It's going to be over. We have a landing spot for Brandon Ayuk. And now it's looking like, but wait, San Francisco's maybe upping the offer. Maybe they will re-sign Brandon Ayuk and extend him. So at this point, it's fun speculating. It really is. For the first, like, week. And now it's just like, I'm done. Just wake me up when he's either extended or on a new team. Because it's ridiculous at this point. There's been like three different scenarios where it looked like he was about to be traded. And there were also three different scenarios where it looked like he was about to get an extension. And it's obviously so important because it drastically impacts fantasy. It impacts Ayuk, it impacts the receivers he plays with now, and the receivers he could play with on a new team. Like I pointed out last week, I believe that if Brandon Ayuk is traded and San Francisco doesn't acquire a receiver in the deal that commands a high target share, Deebo Samuel's probably a second-round pick in fantasy drafts. His target share went up by over 7%. With Ayuk off the field last season. George Kittle would probably climb towards my top three tight ends because we know he's been as efficient as anybody in football. It's just the volume hasn't been quite the same as the other elite tight ends. And then McCaffrey's McCaffrey. But we'll keep waiting. We'll keep seeing. Maybe. Finally, JJ McCarthy. Definitely frustrating news here. He was pretty impressive in the preseason game. Was complaining about some knee soreness after the game. He is going to have surgery on a torn meniscus, which obviously, you know, he's not going to miss the season, but he will miss time. And it pretty much solidifies that Sam Darnold will be starting quarterback week one for the Minnesota Vikings. Definitely frustrating, especially for somebody who just comes into the league, impressed as a debut in the preseason. But JJ McCarthy going to miss some time. I don't think it affects anything. Like, I think you probably, obviously, like, you can be higher on McCarthy than you are on Darnold, but I don't think it, like, I think Justin Jefferson was going to be Justin Jefferson regardless. Tavon Austin retired. Shout out Tavon Austin. Just the best highlight tape in the history of football. So shout out Tavon Austin. All right, let's get into some of these veteran players that are being overlooked. And I have about 5-6 players on this list. And I get it. We like the new thing, the excitement. But when it comes to fantasy football, like, these veterans that get pushed down every year, they become really good values. I mean, he's on this list. I'll just spoil it. But, like, look at Raheem Mostert last season. I mean, at this point, look at Raheem Mostert almost every season, right? We'll talk about him in a little bit. But I do want to start with Alvin Kamara. And I get it. And this is coming from somebody that a couple months ago really excited about Kendra Miller as a potential sleeper. And yes, I understand that Kamara's rushing efficiency really looked bad last season. And he's approaching that age 30 season. I get it. Last season, Kamara, 3.8 yards per carry. His 0.12 avoided tackles per attempt mark was the lowest of his entire career. He's definitely not as explosive as he once was. And if Kendre Miller could stay healthy and was pushing him for carries, that might concern me. But I just don't think we're there. And I don't know if we'll be there at any point this season. So, underdog drafts right now, Kamara's going off the board, RB18, I think around the fifth round. And to be fair, underdog is half PPR, so it's not full PPR. And of course, that's where Kamara is going to be the most valuable, right? But last season, despite that poor efficiency, Kamara was top five among running backs in fantasy points per game. He averaged just over 17. And I've talked about the schematic changes we'll see from the Saints with Clint Kubiak, more motion, probably higher percentage looks from Olave, Rashid Shaheed. But I also don't think we're going to see Derek Carr really go away from being one of the top quarterbacks in the league in terms of checkdowns. And that's where Kamara really made his impact last season. According to FTN data last season, Derek Carr, checkdown rate north of 20%. It was the highest rate in the NFL by far. It's like 20.3% checkdown rate from Derek Carr. When he's under duress, he's just dumping it off to Alvin Kamara. And the Saints offensive line is really bad. Like, they're obviously going to miss Ryan Ramczyk. He's going to be under pressure a lot. Kamara last season, 5.8 receptions, 6.7 targets per game, a 14% target share. Like, targeted on 32% of his routes. It's not going to be that high, but how many running backs do you project to catch more passes than Alvin Kamara this season? The answer is one, maybe. Maybe Christian McCaffrey. I think Breece Hall's receptions are coming down because that was also a huge result of just the quarterbacks not being able to throw the football down the field. So, yes, the run blocking situation is not good. The efficiency last year on a per carry basis was not good. But if he's getting 70 receptions, I don't really care. And like right now, I don't know if Kendre Miller is pushing him for touches, and I don't think Jamal Williams is. So it's just kind of, it's becoming an easy selection for me when he falls. And I get it, like where he's going right now, like David Montgomery goes ahead of him. Like, I like Montgomery just fine, but his upside is obviously severely capped. They're like completely different players. Joe Mixon and Josh Jacobs are pretty close to Kamara for me. They both go relatively comfortably ahead of him. I have no problems taking Kamara where he's going. Again, in full PPR leagues mostly. But he's going to be productive. It's kind of that simple. Let's move on to Diontae Johnson. Talked about Diontae a couple times. But I don't think enough, though. I still can't believe, and again, I'm using underdogs ADP. It's going to be different from home leagues, etc. But even over there, I was actually stunned to see his ADP. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Again, not a full PPR site, but we also know that wide receivers are drastically being pushed up over there. And yet Deontay Johnson, a player that historically has proven to be able to get open, earn targets at a high level, and is a clear top option on an ascending, improving offense, is being drafted as the wide receiver 39. I don't understand that. I mean, he's going after Xavier Worthy and Jaden Reed and Keenan Allen. It's easily Deontay for me. And again, I've talked at length about how high I am on Bryce Young and Dave Canales and the fact that this offense was just an absolute train wreck last season. But Adam Thielen was part of that train wreck. In the role that we expect Deontay Johnson to be this year, in a bottom three offense in the NFL, and he was not only fantasy viable, he wasn't just fantasy relevant, he was at one point a pretty much must-start top 36 wide receiver. From weeks 2 to 11 last year, Adam Thielen saw a 32% target share, 25% target per out run rate, he had 7 top 25 finishes, he averaged just over 19 fantasy points per game, and he was a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy during that stretch. And that was in Frank Reich's offense that was completely sloppy, breaking the huddle with like 8 seconds left on the play clock, no creativity, no separation, no movement, nothing. So now are we giving Deontay Johnson that role in an offense that's going to be just flat out better across the board? And it's a player that we know is talented. Look at a lot of the ESPN open score metrics. Like the past 3 years, Deontay Johnson's been right up at the top with some of the elite players in the National Football League. And I still think Bryce Young, again, yes, disappointing is an understatement to describe his rookie season. But he was still the top overall pick 1 year ago. I don't think he's just bad at football. I think his situation was just unbelievably bad. So Deontay, to me, like, I actually think Deontay Johnson is the player I've drafted most over on Underdog right now. It's like Deontay Johnson and Chris Godwin, who can also make this list, but I've talked about him enough. Like, Jaden Reed goes ahead of him. I don't get that. If Green Bay's wide receivers stay healthy, what's Jaden Reed's ceiling for targets? Like 5-6 per game? Deontay's is like 8-9 targets? I get it. Like, even when he was really good in fantasy in Pittsburgh, he didn't score touchdowns, so like, and I'm not saying Deontay Johnson has like top 12 upside. Like, he would have to catch like 150 passes, right? Or like Carolina's offense would have to be the surprise offense of the season. I will say though, we see it every season. One offense every year is that surprise out of nowhere offense that emerges. The Lions a couple years ago, Houston last season. It happens every single season. Why can't it be Carolina? We saw what Dave Canales did for Baker. We saw what he did for Geno. Bryce Young's still a talented, talented player. They added weapons across the board on offense. Why can't it be Carolina? Why not Carolina? When we come back, we'll talk about some more veteran players in fantasy football that are being overlooked. I mentioned Raheem Mostert. You can kind of copy and paste that every season until he retires, or at least until maybe he leaves Miami. And a few other players that could be values for you on draft day, but seemingly nobody wants to draft them because they are old and boring. We'll break down some more of those players when we come back. All right, moving on, we'll stay with the wide receivers and we'll talk about Christian Kirk. I've talked about him on the podcast too. And obviously he goes ahead of where Deontay Johnson goes. He's not that far down. currently going off the board. Wide receiver 30, which I still have him ranked pretty comfortably ahead of that. I mean, last season, weeks 1 to 12 before he had his season end, he was the wide receiver 26 in fantasy. He was top 20 among all wide receivers in yards per out run. And I just think there's actually not like, let me find an example, not like Devontae Adams, you know, Green Bay type touchdown upside. But I think there's some overlooked touchdown potential here because Calvin Ridley's gone. Calvin Ridley tied for the league lead with 24 end zone targets in 2023. And I like Brian Thomas. I don't think all of them are going to him. I love the utilization that Kirk gets in this offense. Obviously, you'll see this more with slot receivers. But according to FTN data, the past couple of seasons, he's been towards the top of the NFL in routes with a linebacker in coverage. That's A, because he plays in the slot. But also, we've seen in this offense, Doug Peterson, Press Taylor, they've lined him up out of the backfield quite often. I think we could go back to seeing more of that this season. And I think it's clear that he's the top target for Trevor Lawrence. Like, we saw Evan Engram have this monster season last year. A huge part of that production, to be fair, did come after week 12 when Kirk was out. And Trevor Lawrence, you know, Scott Spratt was on the podcast a few weeks ago when we were talking about regression candidates. And yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence's touchdown rate's coming up. It was, you know, he had a lot of almost touchdowns that should have been touchdowns. So, do I think Christian Kirk has top 12 upside? Probably not, but top 18? I could see it. And that would obviously be a pretty large value considering where he's going right now. So I do like Kirk. And then, yeah, Raheem Mostert. Everybody wants to draft Devon Achan, and I get it. Totally get it. But Achan's going off the board on average 21st overall, 7th RB off the board. Then you have Mostert, 92nd overall, RB 26. I don't even know if like RB 26 is that bad for Mostert. I just don't know if the discrepancy between Achan and Mostert should be that large. And we obviously know why it is. Achan, second-year player, was the most efficient player like ever last season. Fits the offense so well. His speed is insane. Let's not act like Raheem Mostert doesn't have crazy speed as well. And he doesn't fit the offense. And he's not the goal line player. I mean, the 21 touchdowns from last year, they're coming down. That's just insane. But we know for a fact that Devon Achan, despite how good he is probably going to max out at like 12 to 13 touches per game. And Mostert gets the rest in a good offense. So it's just kind of like, and I've talked about Achan a lot, like I am more afraid to not draft him than to draft him, because if I don't draft him and he's just continues to be unbelievable, then yeah, it's over. But Achan can still be awesome. And Mostert can still be really good, and I still expect him to be the goal line running back for this team. So RB 26 is a fine value. It's probably going to be a little bit lower in some home league drafts. I guess I'm also just like I don't have Achan close to RB 7 in my rankings. So like in my rankings, Mostert and Achan are definitely closer. So I think it comes down to that. Let's talk about the quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford. I just want pieces of the Rams offense. I've mentioned this stat before, but when the Rams offense was fully healthy last season, so when Stafford, Kyren, Cooper Kupp, and Puka were healthy, they averaged 28.5 points per game. They scored 30 or more points in half of those games, and they were second in the NFL in offensive DVOA in those games behind only San Francisco. So they weren't just a good offense, they were elite on offense. Stafford last season, like, he was, I think, quarterback 14 in fantasy points per game, but played at such a high level. Don't really expect that to change. You love the weapons. Maybe he has to throw a little bit more with some of the losses they had on defense. Obviously, Aaron Donald being the key departure. And yeah, like, quarterbacks in this range where you see, like, Stafford and Goff and Tua, like, the quarterbacks that will throw for a lot of yards but don't give you much rushing production, they are always going to be pushed down. And I get it. Like, totally get it. But if, like, something happens in my draft where I just completely fall asleep at the wheel at quarterback, or people in my home league are drafting two before I draft one, I'm fine with Matthew Stafford as my quarterback. Like, we always talk about, like, the players in this offense that we love for fantasy. I mean, Kyren, Puka, and Kupp are all going the first four rounds. Like, but we don't want to talk about Matthew Stafford, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback and played at such a high level last season. And we know the offensive system is as good as it gets with Sean McVay. So for me, like, I'd be lying if I said going into a draft, my plan is, you know what? I'm just gonna take Stafford a quarterback, and that's my plan before the draft even starts. Of course not. I want more upside than that. But overall, I just think we know the Rams offense is good, but I don't think we realize just how good they were last year when they were at full strength. And Stafford obviously is the catalyst there. And I think he's just gonna be really good again. Same with Jared Goff. His splits at home, indoors, he's averaging four more fantasy points per game. Indoors over the past couple seasons, Lions have 14 dome games. He has the best supporting cast in the NFL when you combine play caller, wide receivers, and offensive line. In my opinion, it's close between him and Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion. But I would lean Goff. He is always around like quarterback 14, 15. I have him closer to quarterback 12. And he's been quarterback 8 and quarterback 10 in fantasy over the past two seasons with Detroit. So, he's been a screaming value to me pretty much all offseason. Like, give me Goff over Tua, over Trevor Lawrence. I think it's really close between him and Brock Purdy for me. But, like, if Purdy goes earlier than Goff, just wait and take Jared Goff. Yeah, Purdy goes quarterback 13, Goff goes quarterback 16. Totally fine just taking Jared Goff there. Perfectly fine with that. Just got to give the veterans some love. I get it, though. Like, we love the rookies and the sophomores and the third-year players because that's when we do, like, especially, you know, sophomore, third-year wide receivers in particular. That's when we really see the breakouts happen, and you don't want to miss out on breakouts. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying if your draft falls a different way and you do miss out on some of the young players, don't just look at some of the veterans and say, oh, 28, 29, 30 years old, can't draft them. That's all I'm saying. But that'll do it for me on the podcast today. Excited about the preseason to continue. More football coming up. That's always a good thing. It's always a good thing. We have content through everything at ftnfantasy.com. Whatever you're looking for. Use that promo code FTN15 at sign up to get you 15% off. One final day to do it. So make sure you take advantage of that. Of course, check out all the other podcasts a part of FTN Media. The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe, the Dynasty Podcast with Jeremy. Of course, this one. Subscribe, rate, review all of them. It helps us out quite a bit. We appreciate everybody listening all of the time. We'll be back on Thursday for one final episode this week. Maybe we'll get to four or five episodes starting when the season starts, because there's so much to break down each week when it comes to fantasy football. But that'll do it for me. I'm Adam. Thanks for listening as always. Have a good one. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Goodbye.